I'm concerned. But I'm more concerned because of them rather than what we're doing at the moment.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Wednesday, Tottenham Day. We dive a little deeper into West Ham and Tottenham. Although we did Tottenham last week and we haven't had any games to talk about in between. So it's kind of like a preview for this weekend, upcoming. We have Wolves on Saturday.
Well, before we do that, Nico, send us shit. Nico's got a quiz for us.
He has.
And it might start some of the conversation. Yeah, let's do the quiz
okay.
first.
Okay, go on then.
Just send Suj the questions for me and send me the questions.
Oh, why is it? Is he not asking the questions?
Well, unless he wants to come in on the mic, how are people going to hear
repeat
him?
What he says. It's okay. All good. It's all good.
That's gonna come out shit on the audio. Yeah, Nico says yeah, exactly. Right, okay. While we do that, Nico does that. There was an unfortunate incident last night in Paris where Richarlison, I don't know who by, certainly fans of some description, was racially abused playing for Brazil. He's tweeted this morning saying, like, what the fuck? Is this ever going to end unless there's punishment for people, basically? What is the punishment?
I'm pretty sure it was Clayton who tweeted that he was going to the England game and there was a mother encouraging her children to sing along with the chants about German bombers. Do you know that? I don't even know the chant, mate, to be honest with you.
It's something about RAF shot them down or something.
Oh, okay, fine.
I'm looking at this video now from last night and clear as day, banana thrown on the pitch.
Yeah, I've just seen mum encouraging her kids to sing German bombers with the crowd down Wembley Way.
I mean, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I told you before, I've been to Germany so many times. I mean, that's slightly off topic what we're talking about. I've been to Germany so many times and always good as gold. Dortmund, yes,
best
Munich,
part, best
Leverkusen, absolutely brilliant. And there's always a couple of dickheads there when I talk about shit that happened fucking 80 years ago. It's embarrassing. As is this. That game last night was played in Paris. Brazil played Tunisia.
Yep.
I don't know if it's French people. I don't know if it's Tunis people. I have no idea. But that's not acceptable, is it?
But then, why Richarlison specifically as opposed to anyone else?
Well, Richarlison has gone over there to celebrate and the corner flag has just scored. There's a few other players come over as well. There's a few black players and a banana's been thrown on the pitch. What do you do? Do you ban Tunisia? The problem with something like that is I don't know if you know if it's French people or Tunisian people. Yep. The game's played in France. I've no idea. Anyway, lots of love for Richie. He's doing great. He scored a couple at the weekend. It's goal and an assist last night as well. Probably won't start, I don't think, at Arsenal at the weekend. We've got trivia questions, I think, Suj.
We have, from Mr. Nico Semedo.
So, who's going first? Do you want to do this like a penalty shootout?
Nah, you go first. Go.
Okay, question one. Antonio debuted for West Ham by coming on the 60th minute against Manchester City. Who did he replace? Bloody hell, that's a bit fucking tough, Nico.
Shit.
I mean, I wouldn't get that.
7 years ago, right back.
I'll give you a clue, African.
Sacco?
Would have had him on loan.
We would have.
Yeah.
Victor Moses.
Yeah.
Victor Moses. Yeah.
Bloody hell, that's too hard, Nico.
Okay.
Question two. How many penalties did Adrian save for West Ham? That's also too difficult.
Adrian?
Yeah.
Three.
Five.
Okay.
Question three. Who scored the only direct free kick goal for West Ham in 2010? This is too hard, Nico.
2010?
Yeah. I can't even remember this guy playing for you. It was a goal against Birmingham.
Like Stuart Downing?
This is why you think my quizzes are hard. Fucking hell, mate. Alessandro Diamante.
Okay.
Question four. Who's the oldest outfield player to play a Premier League game for West Ham? I'd have got that one.
Teddy Sheringham.
Yes, mate. Question five. Who out of all active players has scored the most own goals in a West Ham shirt?
active players, the most own goals?
That's a good question. He's in your squad now.
Yeah, yeah. I'd probably go with Creswell.
No, it's Craig Dawson.
Okay. Oh, in his career or for West Ham?
Said three, so I'm guessing it was for West Ham.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you didn't specify three. That. Shit question after all. Mm. Go on in, Serge, have me. I'll spin this off into conversations and memories.
Heung-min Son debuted for Tottenham by coming on the 67th second minute against Sunderland.
Yep.
Who did he replace?
I am... That's incorrect for a start. It's not. Go on, go and have a look.
League debut, maybe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he started. Let's get the Google out. I know Ryan Mason scored and got injured. It's more likely to have been... Would he have come on for Mason? I feel like Mason scored later in the game. I'm so sure that he started, Nico. Get it up. Sunderland 0, Tottenham 1, yeah? Stadium of Shite. Ryan Mason scored. Lovely little link-up play. One touch. Mason threw. Dinked it over the keeper. Got injured. Clattered with the keeper. Was out for months. Didn't really recover to be the same player beyond that. Obviously suffered a terrible head injury. If Heung-min Son did come on...
Stalling.
If Heung-min Son did come on in the 67th minute of
second,
that game...
62nd.
62nd. I'm so certain he started. I'm going to say Christian Eriksen.
No. Andros Townsend.
Andros Townsend. Did he start or not, Nico? I'm not happy about this. I'm so sure that he started.
You'll know this. Who did Tottenham's goalkeeper, Paul Robinson, score against?
Watford and Ben Foster.
Correct. How many Premier League penalties did Harry Kane score in the 2014-15 season?
Yay. Thanks, Nico. Good question. West Brom away. Leicester at home. Is that it? Missed the penalty against you. Scored the rebound against West Ham.
Doesn't count. That's a rebound.
Yeah, exactly. Is there any more in there? 14, 15. I'm going to say three. It's probably one I've forgotten.
No, two.
Is it just two?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell.
Question number four. Who's the oldest outfield player to play a Premier League game for Tottenham?
Oh, really? I should have been thinking about that as soon as I read the question for you. Is it Teddy as well?
Yeah.
Is it really?
37. He was, what, 38, 39 with us?
Well, he went from us to you, so yeah logically, yeah.
Who out of all... He could still fucking play at 38, 39.
It's the same question, it own goals.
Who out of all active players has scored the most own goals in a Spurs shirt per Premier League?
Is it active Tottenham player?
Yeah. In the squad right now.
I'm going to say... I've got a feeling it might be Kane. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, fuck it. I'm going to go for Kane.
It's Kane.
Yes.
Three own goals for Harry Kane. That should come off his total, shouldn't it? Total Premier League goals. You should minus own goals.
No, we should probably just take away the own goal we scored at... the goal we scored at Stoke where he never touched it. And I was behind the goal that day and he definitely didn't touch it. Not having it. Anyway, I suppose he's part of discussion point at the moment because his Bayern Munich rumours won't go away.
How long has he got left?
So his contract is up in the summer of 2024.
Yeah.
So 18 months, if you will, basically. A year and a half. These Bayern Munich rumours won't go away.
They can't score at the moment.
Well, they can't win a game at the moment. It's interesting that they didn't go for him in the summer. Maybe they believed they couldn't. Maybe they believe that next summer they can get Kane for a more reasonable fee. I suspect, and we've discussed this a bit in the past on other pods, that I think we'll get more and more players who actually re-sign contracts within the final year of their contract, like Mbappe. I'm not saying Kane would go right to the end of his contract and re-sign, but I think we'll see more of that happening in the next few years. Would Harry Kane go to Bayern Munich, in your opinion, Serge? It comes back to the same debate of what's more important to him. Is it guaranteed league title? He's a guaranteed winner at Bayern Munich. There's no doubt about it. Even if you just win the Bundesliga, you're winning something while you're there. Unless Harry Kane curses
I think not. I don't think he would.
Or are you more bothered about your status at Tottenham, and obviously maybe even more than that, this Premier League record?
I don't think he would, but I'm hesitant because strange things have happened in football. But I don't think he would. Would I be surprised if he rocked up at Bayern Munich? I don't know. Not a lot in football surprises me now, but I don't think he'll be going to Bayern Munich.
He's very much believed that Kane will be linked to what happens to Antonio Conte. He's apparently very happy at Tottenham now. Well, because he sees the direction it's going in and believes that he can win something with Tottenham now.
But he's been there with so many other managers, have been and gone. And if Conte leaves, what if they replace him with Tuchel, for example? Or what if they even got someone even more elite?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Tuchel, because obviously these Juventus links have been coming up for Antonio Conte as well. There's a lot of pressure on Massimo Allegri at Juventus, and a belief that basically Juventus don't sack managers mid-season is kind of how it tends to work there. But they're shocking, right? I watched a lot of their game against Benfica. They got completely outplayed in Turin in the Champions League a couple of weeks ago. They lost at Monza, the first Serie A game that Monza's ever won. And admittedly, Juventus did go down to 10 men in the game, but Monza had an XG of like nearly 3. I battered them. You should have beat Juventus by more than 1. So clearly not right. Antonio Conte's obviously done the job there before. Speculation that they would go back for Conte. But I don't see why Conte would go to Juventus. I mean, they're a bag of shit at the moment. Mm-hmm. Italian football has not got the money to compete like our league.
Again, I don't think so either.
But let's say he did. Let's say we wake up tomorrow and Antonio Conte's decided he wants to go back to Juventus, and they pay Tottenham compensation for Conte. What do Tottenham do?
Tuchel.
Tottenham or Pochettino. Absolutely.
Kane and Poch.
So what's the worst that happens? Like, how would I feel if Thomas Tuchel's Tottenham manager next week?
Be all right with that?
I think he's elite. And I think it would probably be similar to what the position we're in now, in the sense that he likes
to play three at the back. Well, likes to play with wing backs.
I think Tuchel's got more flexibility.
A bit more, actually, yeah.
But would probably come in and play three at the back with what's there at his disposal at the moment. But I wouldn't be expecting Tuchel to do the job for 5-10 years. I'd expect him to come in, try and win something, and you know it'll blow up in a couple of years, which we're expecting that to happen with Tottenham at some point as well.
Conte.
So I think Conte will stay. What's interesting about Conte is Conte's contract...
When's his contract up?
This summer coming. But Tottenham have the option to extend it themselves for a further year. So if Tottenham decide in April, right, we're putting you in for another year, they can do that.
Now, yeah, I mean, if he throws his toys out of the prime, you can't do shit, but...
Well, yeah. And you may be in a position where next April, for example, say it's not agreed and sorted beforehand, at Tottenham look at it and go, well, if he wants to go, do you want to give him the contract for another year? Because if the manager's there sulking, then the team's obviously in trouble, isn't it? But it's believed Kane is linked to what happens with Conte. At the moment, I think Conte will stay. I don't see where he goes. I don't see where he earns more money. I don't actually see where he goes, where he'd get more enjoyment and more fulfillment and a bigger challenge than what he's got at Tottenham. So it feels like something's starting to be building, and it feels like comments he's made over the last few months suggest that he's beginning to think about longer term. You're not going to overthrow Man City this year, if you're Tottenham, for example. Can you win something this year? Can you challenge in the cup competitions? Can you get into the top four again? He's been speaking, saying things about, like, we need another more couple of transfer windows and stuff. That doesn't sound like a manager is walking away to me tomorrow, for example. So I'm not overly concerned. I think as well, just generally flat out, if your players and your manager are performing well, they get linked with places. It was interesting, after we recorded COTC with Adam and Ricky, we had a chat about Arteta. Linking in, nice segue, James, to Saturday's derby, and talking about how long it'll be before Arteta gets linked with the big jobs, and what would happen if Guardiola won the Champions League at City and decided to walk out at the end of the season. Do City consider Arteta? What about Carlo Ancelotti at Real Madrid? Is probably not going to be manager there next season, just purely because no one really does more than 2 years at Real Madrid. Would someone like Arteta now come into the conversation? What about the Barcelona job? So, as I explained to Adam, the food chain with those three clubs, I think particularly at the moment, even in spite of all the joke we've made about Madrid and Barca, if Madrid, Barca or Man City come for you, you're going. That's where it's at right now. Liverpool's not on the table, I don't think. I'm not sure Liverpool would be interested in Arteta or Conte. But yeah, it's the same thing. If Real Madrid turn around and sack Ancelotti because they go on a bad run, they want Conte, yeah, then he's going, isn't he? Mm. It's fairly obvious. But would you see Arteta being in the running for those sort of jobs?
No.
Why not? You got the Spanish link with him as well.
Yeah, I do get that. I just think he needs a little bit more time. He needs to prove it for a little bit longer. He's done a good job turning Arsenal's fortunes around, but I think he needs a little bit longer. He needs to prove it for a more sustained period. And also, it's all well and good playing well. You need to, these clubs want to win trophies. So I think they'd go with a more proven manager. Who's out of a job right now? Zidane? Tuchel?
Poch.
There's a few out there. I think they'd go to those guys first, possibly.
I mean, I think Thomas Tuchel would be almost be first choice for everybody at the moment in terms of available managers, wouldn't they?
Well, Nagelsmann could get fired at Bayern Munich. Conte could go there and take Kane with him.
We spoke about Tuchel yesterday on the England podcast. We didn't speak about Poch.
Yeah, Poch wouldn't come to manage England.
Why not?
Nah, I don't see that. You may as well stick with Southgate.
Why not?
He's a coach, develops players rather than maybe tactically set up just to win.
So
that's an opinion.
Matt Law, who's with The Telegraph, was reporting yesterday that there's increasing feeling that Southgate's going to stand down after the tournament.
Yeah.
Irrespective of how England do, just thinks like it might be time for a change.
Probably.
Maybe he wants to get into club football. Where do England go? Right, they don't go for Antonio Conte, by the way. I can assure you of that.
They pick up, it was a chap at Swansea.
Swansea now? You're talking about Cooper who went to Forest.
Sorry, yeah.
Who might get sacked by Forest in the next couple of weeks.
Well, there you go, Cooper.
Do you know? Big call.
Go back to Allardyce. Call Harry Redknapp, see if he wants to come out of retirement.
The two obvious English ones would be Howe and Potter, and they're not walking out of their jobs.
No.
Eddie Howe would be mad to walk out of
Newcastle. Yeah, no chance they're walking
and
out.
And Potter's obviously just gone to Chelsea, no, so there's no chance of that happening. So
Steve McLaren, back to him.
No, you're not. You're arguably looking. I think the next England appointment might end up being overseas. Can you imagine a reaction in this country? If Cooper has a couple more bad results at Forest, they'll sack him, I think. I was talking with Mark about this, that the owner there is going to be impatient, the amount of signings they've made, etc. Imagine a reaction in this country. Oh, you appoint Cooper, he's just been sacked by Nottingham Forest.
Yeah. I mean, there's enough.
Now, I know there's a manager there that might be very suitable to international football, by the way, and has worked with younger England age groups. He was the manager of the, I think it was the, was it the under 20 winning team or the under 70? I can't remember. He was manager of one of them, which is part of what got him into Swansea and stuff in the first place. So he's familiar with the format and that. But I just can't see people in this country being acceptant of it.
Nah. What do you think on Saturday?
I think
2-1 Arsenal? Something tight like that?
Yeah, that's what I predicted. I think we're obviously not, I was going to say we're not in a great moment. We're definitely not in a bad one, by the way, but we're not playing very well at the moment, I think it's fair to say. But as highlighted on the pod, our away performances against the best teams in this country over the last 6 to 9 months have been pretty good. Won at the Etihad, drew at Anfield, drew at Stamford Bridge. Why shouldn't we have confidence that we can do similar to Arsenal? They're playing, other than City, I think the best football in the league at the moment. You can make a case that they're playing the best football in the league at the moment. They're right on form. I want to say that when we last won at the Emirates, Arsenal were top of the league. Difference is this time we'd go above them if we did it. But yeah, I'd absolutely take a draw. Looks like our seat, or rather standing spot, is literally right next to them, which I don't know if I can cope with. Honestly, I might have to move. I don't know if I can cope with that.
Earplugs?
No, I just can't cope with them. Honestly, going to the stadium makes me feel sick. I don't enjoy it. We've also got this annoying train strikes that's going on.
Oh, is there train strikes on the weekend?
Oh, yeah, so next two Saturdays. And I'm meant to be going... what have you just realised?
No, I was going to get the train on Saturday.
You ain't doing that, mate.
Okay.
Apparently, some will be on, but won't be many. Now, it's all right. I can still get a tube to the game and stuff.
So the train, not tube, are they? Strikes.
It's train. I don't know what I'm doing the following Saturday though. It's train strikes again the following Saturday. I'm meant to be going to Brighton. Oh. Am I getting there, Suj?
What's the date? That's the 9th.
It's the 8th.
Oh yeah, can't do it.
What, are you going
to
drive?
Yeah, come down for a day trip to the beach. Yeah, can't do it. We play on the 9th. Do we play on the 9th? Fulham?
Yeah, you got Fulham at home on the 9th. Yeah, come back. You drop us off at West Stratford. I'll go casino. And you can go to West Ham, mate. This train strikes are a pain in the arse. I don't know what's going to happen with that yet. I have fears about Arsenal at the weekend. I think rightly so. I think Saliba's improved them massively with how they are defensively. I think Ben White opens up numerous possibilities of how they set up tactically. I think we think Tierney's going to be fit and Zinchenko might be fit as well, so they might have a choice. Adam seemed to poo-poo the idea that Partey got injured before Garner's game. But Adam seemed to be of the impression that perhaps Arsenal would pull him out, actually, and it might not be a problem. They're strong. The only person I know that I definitely want to see in the Tottenham team at the weekend is Emerson Royal. Doherty's played a couple of games for Ireland. People are getting excited. I don't need to see Martinelli going up against Doherty. I really, really don't. And I'm not saying that Emerson will do much better, but I know he won't get twisted inside out badly. So I'm sure Emerson Royal will play a right wing back. Left wing back's very much debate whether it be Sessegnon or Perisic. I think it might be Sessegnon. Do you think Emerson will start for you, by the way, on Sunday? Saturday, rather?
Probably. I think he should. It's a 50-50, but I think he should.
I think I'm going to start him in FPL over Perisic.
I think he should, is my opinion.
I'm not convinced that Perisic is going to play. I think he might play Sessegnon on that side, actually. Longley, I think, will play left-sided centre-backs. We think there's an issue with Ben Davis. But I think Ben Davis would have the favouritism for this fixture if he is fit. Obviously, Romero, Dier. Then there's the question of whether he changes the system and goes for this three in midfield. I don't think he will.
No.
I think it'll be Højbjerg, Bentancur, and I think it'll be Kulusevski, Kane and Son. I think that'll be the team. Very concerned about what they might do in midfield for us. But it's worth saying the two of them, I think, are doing great individually and as a pair. They're just struggling in certain games with an overload of numbers when teams play with an extra man in there. And against Arsenal, you have the unique problem of Odegaard, which most teams obviously don't have a player like that who just wants to find pockets everywhere all the time. So Madison would have played more in like part of a three for Leicester, which Odegaard will do for Arsenal, but I bet they push him even higher against us to try and pin us in. And then that's a real job for Højbjerg and Bentancur, how they deal with that, and then Arsenal's midfield too. It's almost an acceptance for us that when we play games, we're going to be short somewhere. And that's where we're going to be short in the majority of games. And I think Conte's thought process is often that if the two get beat, say if one of them goes in for a press and they get played around, which can happen, you've still got to break down the five at the back. Because we don't get ourselves in a position where the wing backs get too high. Teams don't find it easy to transition and counter-attack on us really quickly because the wing-backs will get higher, but the central midfield players don't. So either way, whether you're in slow attacking phases or even on a transition, you still got to break down five of ours in most cases. Because Højbjerg and Bentancur don't go flying into the box if the two wing-backs are high. I'm concerned. But I'm more concerned because of them rather than what we're doing at the moment.
Well, we shall see how that unfolds. We've got 5:30 on a Saturday. I can't remember the last time we played at 5:30 on a Saturday. Genuinely cannot. Well, I mean, I suppose we had like 14 games in a row or something stupid on a Sunday, didn't we?
Yes,
so it's a really odd time. Like, I don't think I'm going to take the boys to the game. I'm not even that massively bothered about going myself. I'm going to go. I'm off about my tickets to a couple of mates of mine, the kids'
tickets.
It's
got 1-0 written all over it.
Yeah. It's going to be, like, the weather's turned. It's going to be cold and miserable on the stands. I'm not planning on drinking because I've got a busy Sunday. I just, it's go in, watch, go a home kind of jobby, isn't it? It's not like a day out or anything exciting. Might grab some ribs beforehand, but other than that, it's literally is get in and get out. It just feels like get the job done, get out.
Confident?
Yes.
Is that because of you or because of Wolves?
Because of us, I would say. And a bit of both. A bit of both. They've obviously lost Nathan Collins.
They're not playing badly, you know.
No, but they've lost Nathan Collins. I think that will have an impact.
I agree.
And we've now had a bit, I mean, the fair chunk of the squad's been all over the place, but I don't think we've been playing as badly as some might make out. So, I'm confident, to be honest with you. But I don't think it's going to be a slapping or an easy win. I think it's going to be a tight game. But I definitely think we need to show more initiative in the final third. Like you mentioned in the Sky podcast, 4 shots on target all season or something like that. It's not good enough. But I definitely think we'll see...
You've definitely had more than 4 shots on target.
What, the team?
Yeah.
I thought you mentioned in the Sky pod, we've only had 4 shots on target all season.
No, you can't have. You might have 4 bonus points for shots on target.
Oh, is that what you might have mentioned?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that's quite low, but we've also been quite shit this season, so maybe it's...
it's not that bad. Well, imagine that, 4 shots on target in 7 league games. Come back, Nuno, all is forgiven. No, you're definitely not that bad. I think it's 4 bonus points for your attacking players who've got shots tiers.
Fair play. But yeah, I don't think our lineup will massively change. I think we'll be a 4-2-3-1. I think Fabianski will stay in goal. Zuma and... Kerr at the back. I think Emerson will play with Soufal, Rice, Socek, Paqueta, Fornals, Bowen, and Antonio. Well, Antonio, he went to, I think he went to America to play for Jamaica against Argentina.
Messi got a hat-trick.
Did he?
Yep.
I remember I listened to the pod that he does with Callum Wilson last week, and they were joking. He was like, "You're going to try and get Messi's shirt?" And he's like, "I'm all over that. As soon as the game ends, I'm going to sprint and try and get Messi's shirt." I don't know if he did. I'll have to listen this week. But
one of the things we obviously saw Monday night, for anyone who watched the game, was Tilo Kehrer playing right back, Suj.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's a long-term vision for you once Agüero is fit.
It might play right-sided of a 3, but Soufal and Ben Johnson, we've got 2 options there at right-back who are right-back. So I'm sure he can fill in, but I don't think that's a long-term one.
Another note for you, non-Tottenham, but does impact Tottenham a little bit, Marseille. So I did mention this, that there was trouble when Marseille played Frankfurt either last week or the week before. Well, that's an interesting one. Nizar Kinsella is saying Tottenham have identified Atletico Madrid's Jan Oblak as a main target to be their next number one succeed, Hugo Lloris, and have sounded out the goalkeeper about a possible move for him next summer. Yes, please. That won't be cheap. I'm talking possibly record fees for a goalkeeper there. I don't know what his contract status is. Anyway, I went and sought out this Marseille and Frankfurt footage. So, because obviously we've got Frankfurt away next Tuesday in the Champions League. And I was never keen on going to Frankfurt. I said to you when you drew them in Europe last year, this is the one German one we'd got told, don't go there. And Marseille, looking at the Velodrome, you're like, oh my God, I'd love to go to the Velodrome. But do I need that hassle in my life of how dangerous that is? The fucking shit they were doing to each other, mate.
Really?
Literally firing fireworks at each other, mate, in a stadium.
Yeah. I mean, UEFA need to grow a pair.
So, we have. Marseille's next game against Sporting Lisbon will be behind closed doors.
Sporting fans allowed then? No.
I would guess not, no.
Okay.
And when they play us, the North Stand, which is where they were firing the fireworks from, will remain closed completely.
Wow.
So, something has been done.
Play about so it. Should fucking can't it, fire but fireworks
but
at
it,
the opposition.
But it also, I mean, honestly, you should go and see it. It's not for the faint-hearted. Let's say you wouldn't want to be in that. My God, fireworks coming at you! Fuck's sake, mate. Anyway, it got me thinking that obviously the Sporting Lisbon game is going to be behind closed doors. Well, what if it had been a game later and I was going to Marseille and now it was behind closed doors?
You can get your money back. Tough shit. Well, you travel, you wouldn't anyway.
That's what I'm saying. So you're not penalising one too many. I mean, I don't know how you would just let the Sporting Lisbon fans go. But it does also make me think, well, hang on, you are punishing everybody with Marseille. That where they've gone, actually, your whole stand there is closed. That's where the problem was. Feels like a better solution than punishing everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I was just thinking about it selfishly from a Tottenham perspective. What would happen if I was going and that game was behind closed doors? Money's gone, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you can't wait. Oh, I'm going to wait to book my travel in case Marseille fans act like dickheads and the game gets played behind closed doors. No, you go and book the travel and stuff, don't you? So, yeah, I just wanted to mention that. I don't suppose we'll be throwing fireworks at each other at Arsenal at the weekend. I'll either be walking out the ground very fastly at about 20 past two, or I'll be still in the ground about quarter to three singing.
Lovely
one,
jubbly.
One or the other. I suspect it will be the former. But we go with hope. I don't know if I can. I know the ticket is literally going to be right on the barrier next to them. I don't think I can do it. I'm going to move. Fuck that.
Well, patrons, we'll be back at you next week with Tottenham.
Hopefully.
Spurs might have leapfrogged Arsenal. West Ham might be out the relegation zone, but it could be misery all around
we
as
could,
well.
We could be top of the league, or we could have been beaten by Arsenal and Frankfurt, and it could be very moody next Wednesday.
Let's wait and see. Look after yourselves. Quiz for you tomorrow, and of course, Div Show on Friday. Ciao, ciao.
Thanks, patrons. Can you Spurs? Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.